Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local nurse has been at the same hospital for 50 years. Let's go in-depth with Joan Vandercroll-Zylstra with the Pella Regional Health Center. Well, Joan, are you from here?
I am from Pella, and I grew up here in Pella. I attended Pella Christian grade school from the time I was in fourth grade, and then graduated from Pella Christian High School in 1963.
And you've spent 50 years at Pella Regional.
I have spent 50 years at Pella Regional. Can't believe that it's been that long, but it has been that long.
Well, you must have started as a child.
I was a child prodigy. I graduated from Pella Christian in 1963, and then I went to Grand Rapids, Michigan, attended Calvin College and Blodgett School of Nursing, graduated from the Blodgett School of Nursing in 1966.
And you wanted to come home?
Well, I did not at first. And I fully planned to stay in Grand Rapids. I loved Grand Rapids. I loved Holland, Michigan. I was going to be a nurse at Blodgett when I graduated. Well, you know, there's a saying, God laughs when he hears you make your plans. And a young man by the name of Keith Vandercroll convinced me to come back to Pell and marry him.
Well, he must have had a good case.
Yes, he did. He did. So.
Well, good. And I presume you've done a number of things at Pella Regional during your time here?
When I first walked into the door at Pella Regional, it was October of 1967. And I went to interview with John Harmling, who was the he was the administrator of Pella Regional at that time. He interviewed me, hired me on the spot. My first position here was as assistant director of nursing. And I had just finished 3 months being manager of a medical surgical unit, and where part of my duties were not only to manage but also do staffing and scheduling. Our director of nursing at that time was Gladys Boyer, and she was also our anesthetist. And she needed someone to cover for her when she was in surgery. And that's what I would do. And a big part of my job was staffing and scheduling.
Well, that's a lot of work, managing everybody, plus being a nurse. I guess I hadn't thought about that, but somebody has to staff and schedule.
Somebody has to staff and schedule. It gets to be a major responsibility.
Did you then move on to other positions?
I've held about every position in this hospital that a nurse can hold. I was a staff nurse for OB, med-surg, ICU, scrubbed in surgery. At Blodgett, we went to school for 36 months, and we spent 3 months in clinical areas such as OB, surgery. We went to psych, med-surg, and it prepared us very well at that time to be able to cover any area of nursing.
When did you realize nursing was your calling?
Funny you should ask that. When I graduated from high school, there were about three different pathways to a profession for women. And one was being a secretary, one was being a teacher, one was being a nurse. Well, I couldn't type very well. I did not want to teach. So I decided to be a nurse, and it's one of the ironies of my career that I'm ending my career teaching nurses.
I was going to say, I bet you've been teaching your entire career.
I have been teaching my entire career. You are right.
Yeah.
In 1979, I helped to set up the first ICU here at Pella. And I was the manager of that ICU. I worked as a house supervisor. I was a co-director of nursing with Christy Dixon for about 8 years. And throughout this time, I worked the ICU, covered the ICU. My responsibilities included not only managing the ICU, but also teaching nurses how to take care of critically ill patients. And critically ill patients are not just only in the ICU. They're on med-surg, they're in OB, they're in surgery, and especially also in the emergency department. One of the things I needed to do was to teach nurses how to read monitors and develop the coronary care class, of course, from a couple of classes I had taken, and to teach them how to take care of these critically ill patients. I continue to teach that class. I continue to teach nurses how to work critical care. In fact, last week I orientated a couple of nurses to ICU. And I also teach advanced cardiac life support, which is the resuscitation of adults, and pediatric advanced life support, which is the resuscitation of children.
You've seen it all, haven't you?
I have seen it all.
All the good and the bad, the tragic.
All the good and the bad. And the thing I enjoy most about nursing is the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life every day. Whether it be a patient family, my coworkers, my friends, my family. Nurses are there for the best and for the worst part of people's lives. And they remember. And we can make a huge difference in their lives.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Joan van de Kral Zylstra with the Pella Regional Health Center. Well, I want to go back for a moment to critical care and teaching about critical care of patients, because there's the technical side of things that you can teach that probably most of them have already learned. But how do you teach, the psychology of it? How do you, the empathy, the what you need to do to make these people comfortable and feel secure as you possibly can in this terrible time? What's the approach to that? And can that even be taught?
That's a good question, a very good question. First of all, nurses are not taught all the technical things about critical care in their current training when they come to the hospital. They need to be orientated. Not every nurse is suited to be working critical care. But you're right, there's also the empathy and the comfort and the support of the patient. And at times you can teach that by example, and there are times you cannot teach that. That is a thing that is difficult to teach. I also teach CNAs. So I teach everything from resuscitating adults to teaching CNAs how to give baths and how to take care of patients. And that is one of the things that I work on from the very day I start teaching them, is the dignity of the individual, the empathy, and being able to take care of them emotionally and also physically.
In some of these situations, it's hard to imagine much dignity. I mean, having been in the hospital before myself, it isn't always there.
You can still teach dignity, even in some of the procedures that we need to do. There's also always a certain amount of dignity that you can leave the individual with.
It's so important.
It is very important. It is very important.
And some people are better at it than others,
right.
I bet. Do you say, hey, you were very good in that situation, here's how you need to get better?
I help them by example and by teaching, talking to them on how to recognize that these people are not just patients. They are not just people that are in beds in rooms with numbers on them. They're not just a patient in 2041. They are a person with family, with loved ones that are also concerned about them and how to support them during this difficult time. As I said, nurses are there for the best and the worst time of people's lives. And there is, in when you work in the hospital, that you also are part of the community, there's very much a different dimension to it than if you work in a big hospital in a large hospital, in like in Des Moines, where you don't see these people in the community. They remember. Every nurse or every mother that has delivered here will be able to tell you the name of her delivery nurse as well as the name of the doctor. When bad things happen to people, for example, a man died in the ICU early on in my career, and about 2 years later, his wife walked up to me and we were having a conversation, and she said to me, "You know, Joan, that every time I see you, I remember that day." I was a nurse when a 40-year-old came in with a heart attack, and he survived and actually lived to be in his 90s. And every time he would see me, he'd look at me and call me his favorite nurse. He would also remind me that I wouldn't let him watch a football game because it was too stressful for his heart at that time. So they remember. I think the difficult things that people remember are the bad days, and especially when there is a child involved. There can be good outcomes, there can be bad outcomes. I remember a little baby girl that we resuscitated at birth. And she was a successful resuscitation. I saw her grow up because she was a member of our church, and she became a nurse and has actually worked here at Pella Regional.
Wow.
But I also remember the 12-year-old that we could not resuscitate. And her family knows me, I know them, and they remember.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Joan van de Kral Zylstra with the Pella Regional Health Center. Everywhere you go in the community, you can wander the square at tulip time, you can be in the grocery store, and you're seeing a whole different world of patients and people that survived because of things that you and your colleagues did.
Exactly. My colleagues and I do not do this alone. We do it together. And yes. That is exactly right.
Now, how do you maintain such a high level of care when people are coming through here a lot? You've got lots of patients to take care of. It's a physical and emotional burden of sorts that has to weigh on you after, even from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. How do you maintain that high level of compassionate care?
That's also a good question. And I believe nurses do that, first of all, because they are well-educated, but also because of their experience. And they also have their co-workers to depend upon. We work together as a team. One of the things that help us, as I said, is the level of education here that our nurses have. Our administration is, we are blessed with an administration that believes that you cannot give quality care unless you have highly trained staff. And as I said, the other thing we do as nurses, and I know the physicians would do this too, is to support each other. One of the things that happens in a community that you live in, the patient coming in could be your friend, it could be your relative, it could be a friend of a friend or a parent of one of the nurses. One day I was called to the emergency department. The parent, the father of the nurse, one of the nurses in the emergency department, was coming in a CPR situation. They were doing CPR. I took her place so that she could be a relative instead of a nurse in that situation. And we do that. We look out for each other.
Day after day.
Day after day.
Year after year.
Year after year.
You seem so committed, so devoted, so thoughtful about this. It hasn't worn on you one bit, has it?
There are times, and then you have to learn to take care of yourself also. I was a manager of ICU until my first husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And then I knew I would have to come out of management in order to be able to take care of him and also to be able to work. And that is when I went to education. They offered me a position in education when his condition started to deteriorate and he needed more care at home. And I have loved education because, as you said, I've been educating my whole career.
Tell me about your best day ever.
My best day ever. There have been so many, it's hard to pick.
I bet.
It was fairly early in my career, one of my most significant. I'm not sure if this was my best day or a day that I remember. I was a manager for MedSurg. I had gone home, and they called me back in. There were two cars that were coming back from Sully to Pella, and they were racing, and they collided. And two of them died at the scene. One of them came to the emergency room with a big cut in the head, and one died in our emergency room. I was asked to ride the ambulance to Des Moines to be with the one that survived. And at that time, we didn't have EMTs. The funeral homes ran the ambulances. And I rode the ambulance to Des Moines, got him there, and then came home, and a car passed us up. And it was standing in front of the hospital. And I walked in because I had to return some equipment I had taken from the hospital to take care of this patient that we took to Des Moines. And the nurse that was on duty that evening came back and said, "Joan, help me deliver this baby." And so I went back there, and between the two of us, we delivered the baby, and the baby was, the doctor walked into a scene of a screaming baby and two hysterically laughing nurses. That was one of my most memorable days. But I've had many in my 50 years.
You were so happy to deliver that baby.
Right. The good and the difficult in one day.
Thanks to Joan Vandercrawl-Zylstra for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.